So, welcome, welcome, welcome to the wild, wonderful, wacky, and sometimes wicked world of marketing. We'll see all that as we go along. I'm Dr. Marks. This is Lecture 1. It's January 17th, and overall, we will be taking some notes today. So it's just as a warning to be prepared to take notes. Nice to see you. This set of slides, each lecture, are called the housekeeping slides. I'll go over the day's slides at the beginning of each class. These slides include non-testable information like jobs, internships, meetings, speakers, whatever they share with me that I want to share with you, and testable information. The testable information is on slides called either business, business in the news or marketing in the news. If you bother getting the lecture notes, which is highly recommended, I don't give you blank pages. You'd have to pay for those to take notes on the business in the news and marketing in the news. So those you have to take on the side. I don't think there's a point in paying for blank pages. I'll post a copy of these housekeeping slides in the learning materials module on our Canvas website. So they'll always be available for you after class. If you don't get all the info down, you can always go back and look at the slides again. I do not post my lecture slides, but those are also available in the video that we're making for the Webby's students. By the way, Webby's, how you doing? Good to see you there. 1, 2, 3, 322. Okay, so that'll always be available for you here as well if you need those. Right now, our in-class enrollment is 166 people. Our web-based enrollment is 385 people. So I'm working with you and 551 other students. So it keeps me busy. Presumably, I'll keep you busy too. Yeah? This was an announcement that I was asked to share from the men's club hockey team. Anybody in the club hockey team? No? So, oh, you are. Okay, so you can talk to, what's your name?
Luke.
Talk to Luke about hockey if you want. Anyhow, they're looking for a couple of social media folk, a social media director and a social media coordinator, and a graphics design designer. If you would like to help them out with this position, feel free to apply. They're accepting applicants through the 21st of January. It's an unpaid position, flexible schedule, college credit depending on your major, additional internship if you haven't had one for experience, and a huge resume builder. Interested? You can click on there or go to that QR code and see if that would work for you. Okay? Thank you, Luke. So, classes have started. There's some other important dates, but we are on board for today. So, coming up is business in the news, marketing in the news. This stuff is testable in the weekly mini tests. It will always be so. So you likely want to take notes. As noted, I post this on the Canvas website too, so if you miss stuff, it's still going to be there. I don't include business or marketing in the news questions in the midterms or the final exams. Those will focus on content from lectures and from the textbook. But this stuff is usually pretty interesting anyhow. So I try to bold the key points, and then I try to use those key points in the mini tests. I don't always succeed, but if you see something bolded or headlined, it might be worth taking note of. If you miss them, they're in the learning materials folder. And if you want more info in the particular topic, I always try to provide the source of that article for you at the last slide, so if you're really interested. So who personally has, or what family member, has somebody who's a family member or a friend that's driving an EV, an electronic vehicle? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of Webby's. Anybody out there? So it's an interesting topic because it's still relatively new, relatively growth, relatively burgeoning. When you think that, who do you think, what brand do you think of? Tesla. Thank you. I didn't think it was a big secret, but maybe it was. Tesla, all right. So U.S. vehicle sales jolted higher in 2022 as newcomers target Tesla. A theme we'll have in the course: anytime you come up with a new product that's successful and people are buying it and you're making money out of it, I guarantee you competition's going to rear its ugly head and they're going to say, he or she is making money on that thing. How can I get money on that too? So competition, of course, is going to come up, and Tesla's been around enough and successful enough that competition is rolling out. U.S. electric vehicle sales leapt by two-thirds in 2022, while the broad auto market itself contracted, got smaller, as fresh plug-in models from traditional automakers whittled away at the EV juggernaut that is Tesla's lead. So we're seeing new products in the marketplace, a marketing concept. We're seeing competition in the marketplace, a marketing concept. Automakers sold 807,180 fully electric vehicles in the U.S. in 2022, or 5.8% of all vehicles sold, up from 3.2% in 2021. Still small part of the overall market, but growing. You'd like that growth rate for any business you're running, I think. Tesla still dominates the U.S. electric vehicle market, accounting for 65% of total sales. That's a pretty good market share, 65% of the market. Don't worry, competition's coming for them. That figure was down from 72% in 2021 as legacy car companies roll out more models. So the impact of competition on existing business. Ford Motor Company jumped to the number two spot in EV sales, accounting for 7.6% of the U.S. market of those cars. Hyundai Motors and its affiliate Kia combined were a close third at 7.1% after rolling out popular new electric SUV models. So we're seeing market share among competitors, and that will change over time. The shifting market dynamics reflect early jockeying in a sector that remains a small slice of the broader car market, but is being targeted by auto executives as a major growth opportunity. You're in cars, you're a car exec, you're rolling out regular gas engines, but what's this stuff over here? What's happening over here? We got to get into it, perhaps for economic reasons, sustainability reasons, profitability reasons. What are we doing with that? So no sooner do I put this slide together for you, based on some information that's recent, than boom, last Thursday, Tesla responds to this threat to its market competition position. Tesla cut its prices, which means a major shift, arguably, in the EV market. In the face of competition, can Tesla remain the leader in the modern electric vehicle market? That it essentially created competition in the marketplace. On Thursday, January 12th, last Thursday, Tesla revealed its answer to its problem of staying ahead of the competition, at least for now. Steep price cuts on its lineup of cars. Real quick for me, someone go back to microeconomics. If I cut my prices, what do I hope is going to happen? My demand will rise, meaning I have what kind of price elasticity? A little tricky going back to micro. Anybody? Elastic or inelastic? Elastic, right? So the argument is when I have elastic price of demand, if my prices go down, my demand goes up. What's going to happen to my profit with my price down, though? My profit's going to go down, right? So now, what had better happen when I cut my prices and my profit go down? What had better occur? Say again? Well, if I start selling more cars, what if people go, nah, now you've cut your price, you aren't making as much profit, and you're not making it up on volume because cars aren't selling. An interesting approach that depends on having an elastic price, right? Finally, you just bought a car from Tesla in December. Are you thrilled with this price cut? You're thrilled? You're not thrilled. Why aren't you thrilled? You didn't get the bargain, and what's the value of your car that you just bought in December today? Suddenly it's down by a third. Oof, oof. So you aren't going to thrill everybody with that decision. Anyhow, so as much as 30% off when the latest EV tax credits are applied as well. So lower prices stimulate demand, assumes an elastic price-demand relationship. Given the low production competitors that competitors have, Tesla is positioning itself to scoop up consumers who are unwilling to wait for a competition to come in, or maybe on the fence about EV technology by enticing them with one thing that all buyers respond to, a deal. Understanding consumer behavior is an issue here. Pricing strategy in the marketing mix is an issue here. However, many existing Tesla customers, including those who paid more for the same vehicle they purchased in December, seem to be unhappy with the move, fearing that the impact will have on their car's resale value. Many took to social media on Friday, including Twitter, the platform Musk personally owns, to complain or to ask for discounts on other services. So there's always these days, an important thing to pay attention to is the reaction to your decisions on social media. And what should you pay attention to? All right, so that's the EV market. Campbell's, how many people know Campbell's Soup? Can you think of a more mature, staid, old-fashioned product than soup? And yet, and this takes a little marketing genius, these guys are at the forefront of bringing in the metaverse and getting involved with the World Wide Web 3, I think we're calling it, to keep people involved. Campbell's Chunky Tournament blends football with the metaverse and live streaming. Campbell's Chunky Soup brand, the official soup sponsor of the NFL, who knew there was such a thing, is merging football with the metaverse and live streaming in the Chunky Fuel Up Tournament. So digital, as you would guess, is very important in business, very important in marketing. How many of you guys have ever played Fortnite? Yeah, how many are still playing Fortnite? I got a little bored too, but it's really big among a certain segment of the population, yeah? So the Fortnite activation will include three branded challenges meant to test player speed, agility, and accuracy. They're getting consumers involved with the brand. Consumers 18 years and older can compete for prizes like NFL tickets. The tournament goes beyond Fortnite by enticing players to share their high scores on a dedicated website, chunkygaming.com, to be eligible for a range of prizes. So here's a sales promotion tactic. We're getting consumer digital information. We're running exciting ads to get consumers' attention. Play now, get involved, why not? Makes me want to go back and reactivate my Fortnite account. So, the tournament runs from now until February 3rd. Top scoring participants compete in a live event on February 8th that will be streamed on Twitch. So we're seeing consumer experience and involvement and reaching that target audience. Finally, how many Apple users here? How many people hate Apple? Anybody? Yeah, me too. Music and commercials all of last year, so new data coming in at the end of the year, shows that Apple is really good at deploying exactly the right music at the right time in its commercials. So we're seeing information on marketing research data. We're seeing something about ad strategies. Apple is exceptionally deft at using songs that are rising in popularity but are not yet ubiquitous or overexposed. So these songs get consumers' attention. They get an emotional involvement because songs usually have an emotional thing with them. Two cases in point, Biggest by Idris Elba and The Move by Space Rangers. I know, Idris, how many people know Space Rangers? I'm not as in touch with pop culture as I should be, I guess, but I know Idris. By Space Rangers, Biggest was featured in an Apple iPhone 14 commercial released on November 3rd through November 28th, and The Move was used in another Apple iPhone 14 TV commercial that debuted on September 8th. So we're seeing media selection, we're seeing ad strategy, we're seeing how we're reaching the target audience and making use of pop culture. Pop culture.
This is the biggest bonus of the summer.
Okay, so this goes on and on, advertising the phone with a little turn it up a bit. Pop culture beat to it, so Apple knows what they're about. So the bottom line, Apple's as good at getting consumers excited about music as it is about getting them excited about consumer electronics. Good job, Apple. Okay, so we're now going to move to lecture 9 of the lecture notes, if you have them with you, which is going to be a review of the syllabus, and we'll see. I've been talking a long time. We may get into chapter 1 of the text. We'll see if that happens or not, but that's my goal. Let's see what happens next. Let me pause 1 second, because I tend not to do that, and ask. Any questions at this point? Not that I covered that much. Webby's question? Well, I can't hear you. Email me. All right. So, lecture notes, page 9. We're going to talk about the syllabus, brief overview of the syllabus. It's something you should certainly view on Canvas, download, print for yourself, have it, or love it. So pages 4 to 8 of the lecture notes show the schedule of classes and the schedule of tests. So you always know where you stand there. Those schedules of the classes of the tests are also available separately as files on Canvas in the modules. So even if you don't mess with the lecture notes, you can always look at the schedule and know where we stand. I'll also remind you, but it's out there for you in the About the Course testing module. Click. So, Who am I? I'm Dr. Lawrence J. Marks. You can call me Dr. Marks, Mr. Marks, Sir, Lawrence, Larry, hey you. And you can call me anything you want outside the classroom when I can't hear you. Why not? So that's who I am. You can reach me at lmarks@kent.edu from your KSU email. Please don't write me from buff boy or hot girl or whatever, because I don't know it's really you. So write me from @kent.edu, yeah, so I know it's you. My office right across the way here at 516 BSA. Office phone, 330-672-1266. Office hours right after class, Tuesday and Thursday. And by appointment, just email me. I'm glad to talk to you online or in person, 5:15 to 6 p.m. For the visual learners, there I am over in the College of Business, room 516. Here we are, so I'm just across George Janik Road if you want to see me physically. Or if you like Google Maps, there I am as well. Let me know if you'd like to chat. I'll set up a Teams, Google, or Zoom meeting, or see you in my office hours. I'm almost always available. The book is Marketing, the 15th edition, Roger and Karen. That's what it looks like both there and here. It's the same thing. Okay. It's available as an e-textbook through Flashbooks, which we'll talk about in a minute. That comes packaged with Connect Plus, no additional charge. We use that for access to the ebook, but more importantly, for optional extra credit. It's available in a little bit, not yet, at the Kent campus bookstore. It's not available until after the Flashbooks deadline, which, again, I'll mention in a little bit. If you purchased a version of the textbook that doesn't come packaged with Connect Plus, you went off the internet and got it, you could choose to purchase access to Connect Plus from McGraw-Hill, but it's silly to do that. They charge you like $140 to go register for the Connect site. It's cheaper just to stay with Flashbooks. You do what you want to do, but that seems silly. Do what you want to do. I can't really tell you how you'll do using some other edition of the textbook, the 13th, 12th, 9th edition, but be aware that the weekly tests, the midterms, and the final do have 60% of their questions specifically from the 15th edition of the textbook. So having the book would be helpful, yeah? On the other hand, you can't afford the book. I understand it. Things are tough. Get some version of the book for you, not for me. I don't make anything off of that. Get the 14th edition online or something. Get something to help you out. If you want to find the book online, you go to the Start Here module on the Class Canvas website, click on About Flashbooks for Marketing 25010, what you get with it and how to opt out of it, and get the book elsewhere. So I have detailed information there. You could search online for Marketing by Roger A. Karen, 14th edition. Again, not the best way to go, but better than no book at all. Try to get a book. So what is Connect? It's a web-based assignment and assessment site from my perspective anyhow. We're going to use it for the optional extra credit. I call it Enhanced Learning Extra Credit, or ELECs. If you stay with Flashbooks, there's no extra charge. It's covered in Flashbooks. If you decide Flashbooks isn't for you, the $87 is not something you want, you don't want access to the Connect website, you don't want access to the ebook, fine, your choice. I've chosen not to make you do it. You can then choose to do optional extra credit through PacBack. It's a web-based question and answer site. It's about $30 for the semester. You can earn optional extra credit for doing either Connect through McGraw-Hill or PacBack using the PacBack site. And there's much more detail in the extra credit folder on the Canvas website in that module down there. Lecture notes. Anybody actually have lecture notes for any reason so far? They're supposed to be selling them in the bookstore by now. They follow what I have on the slides, slide by slide, with blank spaces for you to write in stuff. So when you have a long definition, I don't really leave enough time for you to write it down because it's in the lecture notes. And then you fill in blanks as you go. So it's a trade-off against some writing. They say that writing stuff is good for learning. And not having to write everything down, I talk fast. There's a lot of material. There's too much on the slides. So lecture notes are worthwhile thinking about. They're also available as a free download from the class website on Canvas or from the Kent Campus Bookstore, about $33. I think they're available now. I don't know. Anybody? They are? Somebody said yes? Okay, thank you. So they are available now. Prereq to this course is Economics 22060. principles of microeconomics, we make use of economics in marketing. I just referenced to it in the price elasticity of demand for the electronic vehicle Tesla decision. So you should have it completed it successfully. If you haven't completed it successfully, passed it, I don't personally look you up and try to get you out of the course, but the system may choose to find you and remove you from the course. So if you haven't completed microecon, you probably shouldn't have been able to get here. You probably shouldn't be here now. What are we trying to do here? So with any luck, at the end of the course, you'll have a working knowledge of marketing terminology, concepts, activities, and strategies. And you say, I don't care about marketing. I'm never going to do marketing. But you're going to earn a living, presumably with an organization or a business. And it really would be nice to be able to talk to people across the various silos and know what those guys over there in marketing are talking about, what they're doing, what the terms are. So that's useful from a college education viewpoint. I try to show the course objectives occasionally throughout the class by using little icons. So there's our one that says this is a course objective of terminology, concepts, activities, and strategies. At the end of the course, you should have an understanding of the marketing functions within the organization and in the context of things that happen outside the firm, the external environment. Most of what we do in business focuses on the firm, inside the organization. Marketing is one of the functions that also looks outside to pay attention to what's going on outside. You'll know a little bit about those functions. So that's the icon for marketing functions. Knowledge of the ways in which marketing contributes to the attainment of the organization's goals and objectives. I'm marketing centric. I understand there may be other majors, there may be other silos, other functions within the organization, but my argument is it's not exactly accurate. Take it with a grain of salt. My argument is nothing happens till somebody sells something. So what are you doing? There's an accountant. If there's nothing being sold, you got nothing to do. Finance, you don't need any money because nothing's happening. I'm exaggerating a little bit to make the point. So I'm marketing centric. So we focus on marketing contributions to the shape of the organization's objectives, goals, etc. So there's the icon for that. And an appreciation of the global and the ethical aspects of marketing. We do both in marketing. There's our icons for that. So that's what we hope to do. So again, I'm not interested in marketing. Why is any of that important? This is a report that we just got put up by Coursera of the job skills most desired by business, government, and higher education institutions as we come into 2023. The fastest growing digital and human skills are digital, e-commerce, customer success tools, search engine optimization, customer relationship management software, and back-end web development. Four of those top five things are the concepts that we will be touching on in marketing. Under human skills, storytelling, the use of story structure for the purpose of internal and external communication, collaboration, and marketing is a highly desired skill. Now, I admit, we are not a skills course. You aren't going to be sitting here creating this stuff. But you're certainly going to be hearing about these concepts as we go through the course on a regular basis. So the concepts we're talking about, interview artists in marketing, are important skills that businesses, government, and education is looking for. All right, if you attend the course but don't have the prereq, I've already said, you risk being deregistered. That's the system's issue. You've got the responsibility to ensure you are properly enrolled in the class. I'm sure you have already checked it. Until 11:59 on Monday, January 30th. Course withdrawal deadline for spring 2023, it is Monday, April 3rd. If you withdraw from a class between January 30th and April 3rd, you'll get a W on your transcript. If you withdraw before that first date, it just goes away. After April 3rd, you cannot drop or withdraw from a class. You will receive a grade for the course, whatever that grade might be. If you aren't properly registered in the class, you can't get a grade for it because you weren't actually in the course. Despite the fact you sat in, somehow took the exams, you can't get a grade for it. You weren't in the course. So be sure you're in the course as you should be. Academic honesty, cheating means to misrepresent the source, nature, or other conditions of your academic work on tests, papers, projects, assignments. The only thing we have here is tests. So as to get undeserved credit, my catchphrase is don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal. In the classroom, in your personal life, in business, don't do that. Just do what you need to do in all those domains. All questions on the test, all test questions and answers are copyrighted, so you're not allowed to reproduce them. For example, you can't create a book of my test questions and sell them. You might say, what a stupid thing to say. Why would he bring that up? Because I've seen it happen. You can't do that. That's not legal. So don't copy them. Don't upload them to study onto one of our many study sites and then make them available to everybody else in the world, because that also is illegal use of copyrighted material. You cannot have the questions and answers at the tests, although you can have them before to study for the tests. Also, submitting falsified documentation to be allowed to take an assignment late is cheating, so don't show me a fake doctor's excuse copied by three other students and signed by an imaginary physician. It's cheating. I check on it. You're actually doing counterfeiting. Don't do that. If you have a disability, verify your eligibility through SAS, and they'll send me, or you'll send me the documentation. I will give you the accommodation to the best of my ability. If you're an international student for whom English is a second language, even sometimes domestic students whose first language is English find that I talk too fast, don't enunciate carefully, and don't do good English. So if you're an international student, I understand that. I'll give you access to extended times for the mini tests, the midterm and final, on your request. I don't know you want it if you don't request it. So email me your request, because you're an international student who needs extra time, lmarks@kench.edu. As with all courses, so this is a boilerplate statement, we do not tolerate harassment or discrimination in the class, so we want a safe learning environment. We do not tolerate or we don't tolerate discrimination on the basis of sex, such as sexual misconduct, harassment, domestic and dating violence, sexual assault, and stalking. And we also want to have an equitable and inclusive learning space. So we try to treat everyone with respect and dignity. I try to do that to you. Hopefully you try to do it to me, and certainly you should do it to each other. So if that doesn't happen, you can talk to various organizations that will help you out, and if you've actually been a victim, you can talk to Psychological Services confidentially at that phone number. Don't tolerate it, don't do it, don't put up with it, and act if you need to. Anybody going to graduate after this class? Sometimes you get, seniors sometimes, so that's probably not very pertinent, but those are the deadlines for applying for graduation. Academic verification. All classes at Kent, because of federal law, are required to indicate that you are academically engaged. So I have to do that for this class. Your engagement will be based on your completing mini tests 1 and 2 coming up. If you don't do that, then I have to mark you not engaged, not academically present. They then boot you out of the class, send you a nasty email, and you can't access the course until we get things straightened out. So take mini test 1 and mini test 2, if for no other reason, then it will avoid this issue. You don't want to miss those tests. Everything's recorded. It's all online eventually, as I do it live, so it's not pre-recorded, right? So it is not an independent learning class. How many of you guys have had a class where you have to read a book, answer a few questions, and have some discussion, that's it? This isn't that. This moves along at a pace as we do the lectures, okay? So the lecture's recorded. Hi, Webbies. Tuesday and Thursday, uploaded in online in audio and video formats in the online lectures tab on the class website on Canvas. One set of the video at video.kent.edu, which we would get from a click on the class website, is closed caption, so automatically closed caption. And what else? I'll always send you an email when the actual video and audio is available, so you always know when I got it up. Doesn't happen right away. I got to take it back to the office. I got to combine a couple of files. I got to edit them. Then I'll post them. It takes a little while. Testing is done online through Canvas. You do not need McGraw-Hill Connect to test. It's on the Canvas site. There are 13 weekly mini tests. Those are not proctored. You take them on your own, independently, from your own convenience of your own home. The midterms and final exam are proctored. We use Proctorio. How many of you guys have used Proctorio? How many haven't used Proctorio? Ooh. Well, I think I have up. If not, I'll put up a sample Proctorio test so you can see what it takes to get the test done. By taking the test online, you are giving permission to be recorded. How many of you have heard that there was a court case? I think at Cleveland State, but it doesn't matter, where somebody sued successfully Cleveland State, because Cleveland State required them to touch their camera, pick it up, and move it around. And the court said that was a legal search and seizure. I still don't get that. But I'm saying to you, if you are taking my tests online through Proctorio, by doing that, you're agreeing to be videoed. I don't make you pick up the thing and move it around. If you don't like that, it's fine with me. You don't have to like it. Contact me and we'll arrange for an in-person. Fine. Let me know. We won't make you do it. Okay? Works either way. So to access the class, how many people have been on the class website already? Canvas? How many people have not, just so I can get a feel for things? Couple? Okay, good. You're allowed to say it. It's okay. So you can go to that site with your Flashline name and password, or you can just get there from Flashline at a click to Canvas. You should see something that looks a bit like that. So that is our homepage for this. Flashbooks is something I talked about. You will want to click on and see what Flashbooks is about. By clicking on there, if you want to stay with Flashbooks, you can register with the McGraw-Hill class site from this site, which will make it transparent, smooth sailing. If you want to drop out, you don't want to keep in Flashbooks, that's how you would tell the system you want to drop out. Right, so click on, stay with it, click on McGraw-Hill Connect, and it'll get you all set up to register with the stuff. So what is Flashbooks all about? Well, in an effort to try to keep costs down a little bit, we engage in Flashbooks. All students in the class are charged $87 for the Flashbooks program. It's a charge on your bursar bill, which means it can be part of your finance package if you have a payment plan. Flashbooks gives you access to the digital edition of the textbook, the e-text, and to the material that we use for the optional enhanced learning extra credit. Those optional extra credits can add up to 3% to your final course grade. With Flashbooks, you don't have to purchase access codes for the digital content. It goes right from my website, our website, out there. There is a sample. I've seen a couple people have taken it of that material out there now. Click on the McGraw-Hill link and register with your KSU ID. You'll be all set. If you opt out and then decide it was a bad idea to opt out, you can opt back in by February 13th. Once the opt-out date passes, and the opt-out date, as you can see, is the 23rd, a few days after that, they will make the physical copy of the textbook, this loose-leaf book, available to you in the bookstore. It's a discounted price for that book of about $30. Why am I making a big deal about the physical book? In part, by the way, research shows you study and learn better with the physical book than you do with the e-book online, even though you are digital natives. But because once I allow you to go online during a midterm or final, I can't tell what you're doing. You're asking a friend. You're looking stuff up. So during the midterms and final that are open book and are open notes, you can use the book and the notes in physical copy. I can't very well have you running off to do digital stuff because who knows what you're doing. Not that you would do anything, but those other people might, you know. So all tests are open book and open notes. Having access to the physical book would be useful. The option to buy the discounted physical book will be available on the bookstore just after, not September 1st, but just after that January 23rd deadline. The total cost of Flashbooks plus the discounted physical book is certainly less than. You're going to find the book and digital access elsewhere. If you go to the website on McGraw-Hill, you'll find it's about $233, I think. This is a lot cheaper than that. If you opt out, you do get credit on your account. Click on the link. Choose to not participate. What do you do then? You can choose not to purchase any book. I don't recommend that because a lot of the test questions are from the book. You're great. You're adults. You choose what you want to do. Second, you could rent or buy some other edition of the book from another student or from the internet. It's almost certainly going to come without access to the optional extra credit at McGraw at Connect, but that's your choice. Rent or buy the 15th edition of the book from the internet or from a student. Purchase digital access to the current edition directly from McGraw-Hill without access to the optional extra credit. None of those are great, but they're all options. If you're going to go online and look for it, there's the info. That's what you would look up. Or you can search for Marketing by Roger Kern and Stephen Hartley, 15th edition. My opinion, other students' opinion, you're going to want a book. Students who want the opportunity to earn extra credit, who opt out of Flashbooks, can purchase access to the digital edition, not a good idea, directly from McGraw-Hill, or go to PackBack for $30 and participate weekly in the PackBack assignment. There are details in all of that in the extra credit module on Canvas. I tend not to pause because I take one big breath at the beginning, of course, and then I don't take another breath till the end. Questions on any of the stuff I've said so far? Somebody else has the same question, as they always say. You aren't the only one with the question. Nobody, nobody, nobody? Nobody, 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 going once, going twice. Okay, well, if you get a question, let me know. So, on the home page, we've got the Start Here module. It's got an early welcome message to the course that describes what's going on, the course objectives, a to-do list, info on flashbooks, how to get personal help during these stressful times at Kent State, and it has the class lecture schedule. The syllabus, as a click from the home page, is always available online. If there are any revisions, it'll be available on that syllabus link. The course testing material module has details about the mini-test, the exam schedule, a grade calculator, which you can download, run your grades through, and see where you stand in the course. There's a module, there's a click there called Proctorio Help. It has tips for getting started with Proctorio, provides troubleshooting help. For example, sometimes Proctorio asks you for a code. There is no code. It tells you how to fix that problem. Learning materials module is where you will find, well, your course learning materials, including already up and running the lecture notes, which I've already talked about. The online lectures link, if you've clicked, anybody clicked the link and seen the cute little video I do to greet you? Okay, so I'm there talking to you. That'll be where you go to get that stuff. But after today, that'll be the live lectures will be out there. The housekeeping slides, which I've already said, will be out there in the learning materials folder after today's class. Standard time students are those who are not international, who requested extended time, and who do not have a SAS accommodation, get 15 minutes for each of the mini tests and 80 minutes for the midterms and the final. Extended time students have more time. So you're coded as either a standard time student or an extended time student. That code lets you have access to the appropriate exam on the class. So you'll see both, but you're only going to be able to access one or the other. If you can't access either, there's a problem. Let me know. You should be able to access either the standard time or the extended time. The modules hold the mini-test, the midterms, and the final exam. And there is a sample mini-test out there for you now, so you can see it doesn't count in the grade. It's just a sample test to see how it works. As a mini-test closes weekly for a grade, it automatically opens for review. You can go and take that test as many times as you want. It draws from a very large pool of questions that are the same pool that were used to create the mini-tests and that will be used to create the midterms and final. So you can see, hypothetically, every question available. Now there are hundreds and hundreds of questions. Somebody said, well, aren't you concerned somebody will see all the questions and know all the answers? If you click on all the questions and learn all the answers, you pretty much have the course material. I'm not concerned. If you print them out and bring them to the test, that would be cheating. But if you learn them, good for you. Anyhow, they're always out there. You can always review them. They make for good studying, if you want. Extra credit, you can either do McGraw-Hill or PacBack to earn extra credit. We've talked about that already. Your grades, how many people have found grades, the grade book to be cumbersome on Canvas? Anybody other than me found it to be painful? It's painful in this course, too, because we have 13 mini-tests. It's a mess. But it's out there. You can check your grades. To make it work for this course, let me strongly recommend you go into Grades. In the drop-down box, choose Arrange by Assignment Group. It's not so important now, but as we get multiple assignments out there, it's going to matter. And then apply that. So that'll help you out. Right now, when you go out, you should see a 1 out of 1 either for standard time code ungraded assignment or for extended time ungraded assignment. If both of those are blank, you can't access any of the tests. That's a bad thing. So make sure you're coded properly. And it gives you a chance to check the grade book anyhow. Okay? Back to the home page. So check the intro. If you haven't done that, maybe check the intros down here. If you haven't done that, check the intros on the Start Here click. What's my point? Check the syllabus. There's a syllabus out there. And check the modules out. There's the listing for the class schedule under the Start Here module. Check your Canvas and KSU email. Read about the mini-tests under the course testing materials in that module. check the mini site and exam schedules as well. All the schedules are out there. You'll know what's happening. Look into the grade calculator spreadsheet you download, input your grades manually. You can see where you stand in the course and what you need to do to earn an A, B, C, D on the remaining course material. Get the lecture notes, either as a download or for purchase. Keep in mind the housekeeping slides. That's where they will appear after each lecture. View the lectures. There's a little online lecture link if you want. As they come up, do the mini test, the standard time or the extended time. You see they're both there, but see how, for me, the extended time is grayed out. I only have access to the standard time. I'm a standard time student. It'd be the reverse if you're extended time, yeah? So try the sample one that's already out there now. Review tests, remember them, so you can help you study for the midterms and the final. Extra credit, there's info on the extra credit in this module called Extra Credit using either McGraw-Hill or PACPAC. The point of all that is stay in touch with the material. There's lots of info out there for you. If at this time or at any time during the semester you get lost, you can't follow what's going on, things seem confusing, as they might, contact me. I'm not good at reading minds. So if you're having issues or problems or questions, either ask me here, email me, whatever's appropriate, we'll get it straightened out, right? So to me it's clear, to you it might be confusing, yeah? Grading, the final course grade, we aren't there yet, is based on 13 mini tests. Those are your 13 weekly tests. They count for 50% of your grade. So they're important in the aggregate. Missing a mini test doesn't help your grade. It's part of that 50%. Two midterm exams, those are 17% of your course grade each. And a final exam, 16% of your final course grade, plus any of the extra credit that you earned. We have a fairly standard breakdown, so if you earn 96.2%, you get an A, 89.6 to 92.5, you get an A minus, etc. So we do use the plus minus grading system. If you want to be a marketing major, you need to earn a C. C is 2.0, that's at least 72.6% in the course. C minus is not a C, so be aware of that. This is a little sticking point between me and some of your past experiences, and I'm sorry. I subscribe to the idea that students get what they earn. I know that in other classes, either in high school or in college, people help you out even though you didn't earn it. Doesn't seem fair to me, doesn't seem equitable to me, and it's not going to happen. You're guaranteed to get the grade you earn, and when you look left and right, they got the grade they earned. So don't make adjustments for you really, really, really needing a better grade. If you need a better grade, what should you have done? Earn a better grade for you being 0.3 or 0.2 or 0.1 away from the next grade. Almost always when someone asks me, even though I say don't bother to ask me, they didn't do the extra credit, for example. They could have done it. They didn't. Or for any reason other than an error in calculation. If I make a mistake, boy, let me know. Let me know. That's a no-brainer. You get credit. So asking, pleading, crying, and or offering bribes do not work. Unless one of your parents is a billionaire, come see me. But short of that, you're going to get the grade you earned. It's so will everybody else around you. Fair, I think. All right? So, take it seriously. I'm not going to give extra work at the end of the course, additional chances at the end of the course, change your grade. At the end of the course, pay attention to where you stand and earn what you need or want to get. That's a lot of detail on how to calculate it. Sometimes people just add up all the scores and divide by the total number. That's not right because they're weighted. So it's a total of all mini test scores. We don't drop any. A zero is a zero in your average. So the total of all your mini test scores divided by 13 times 0.5, they count for 50% of your grade. Plus the midterm one exam times 0.17, plus the midterm two exam times 0.17, plus the final exam score times 0.16, plus any extra credit will give you your final course grade. No grades are dropped. We count them all. That's too much detail, but if you want to see the details of the calculation, fine. More importantly, there's a grade calculator. Download it from the About Course Testing Material module. It's a spreadsheet. Put in your grades. It'll tell you what your average is and where you stand. That's what it looks like. So you need to watch for deadlines for mini tests and extra credit assignments and exams. Once an assignment closes, it doesn't usually reopen. And by the time we get out to finals, everything's closed because it's finals. So do them before their deadline. No changes to final course grade. I've made that point. So mini tests. There are 13 mini tests, one for each week for 13 weeks. They are 10-question multiple choice exams. The standard time is 15 minutes. Gee, that's not enough time for me to look up every question in the book and see its answer and put it down. It's just not enough time. It isn't supposed to be enough time for you never to have looked at the material and then start looking it up for the test. You're supposed to have, I don't know, studied for the test and then look up the ones you don't know. So it's purposefully not enough time to look up every test question. You do the ones you know, and then you go back and look up the ones you don't know. So 15 minutes for standard time, 30 minutes for standard time students. The questions are randomly drawn from a large pool of questions that cover the previous lecture's content from the textbook and the lecture. So the questions cover both the textbook and the lecture, including business and marketing in the news, as we talked about. So my Venn diagram here is trying to show you that I do lecture material that's not in the textbook, the stuff in the yellow. I never quite understand professors who only lecture the textbook. And the textbook does have stuff that I don't cover, the blue to the right. But there is some overlap between what they say and what I say, as you might expect, so we do have both. So there's my material that it doesn't cover, there's their material that I don't cover, there's the overlap between the two. What's testable? All of it? 40% of every test question, of every exam, will come from lecture questions that I write. Sometimes, because the material overlaps, it might look like it's a textbook question, but I say things like, in class we heard, according to the lecture we have, the instructor says something. So it's a cue, it's a lecture question. And 60% of everyone is from the textbook. So it's all testable material in a proportion of 40%, 60%. Also, that's another reason why it's good to have the textbook. 60% of the questions are from the textbook. These are open book and open notes. They are not proctored. They're usually available for 5 days after the material has been presented. You can take each of these mini tests up to 5 times. Now, each attempt is a new draw of random questions from that pool. You aren't seeing the same questions over and over again. Out of the 5 attempts, what score should I keep? Like the average or the last one, what should I keep? Oh, really? That seems excessively nice. You get it 5 times and I keep the high score? Yeah, that's what I do. So you can take it 5 times. Oops, there we go. So don't stop with the 40% after 2 attempts and say that's good enough. That seems silly. And why do I mention that? Because people do it. All right, so I'm going to keep the highest score of those 5 attempts. Typically, again, I'm over-exaggerating because with 550 students, we don't want people running willy-nilly around not taking the exam. So typically, there are no makeups for the exams. They've been open for 5 days on a schedule that's pre-listed with reminders sent from me. So you ought to be able to work it out. If you're really incapacitated, you know, in hospital, in drug treatment, in jail, let me know. But in general, makeups are something we try to avoid. So write the deadlines in your planner from the schedule so you don't forget about them. Don't wait until the last minute when you find out you couldn't get back to your home, your computer isn't working, the dog ate your internet access. Don't wait till the last minute because that's just setting yourself up for problems. Don't forget to take the mini test. And there's a sample out there now. If you don't do well on the first few mini tests, like you're getting 40s, this is not rocket science. It's not calculus. So if you aren't doing well, it's probably simply because you aren't putting enough effort into the material. It's not hard, but it does require some attention. It does require some study. If you're sitting down for the first time to take the test, never crack the book, never watch the lecture, it's not going to work. So because the class is convenient, it's available 24/7, you've got 5 days, 5 attempts, there's a temptation to take shortcuts. Don't do it. It's intended to be convenient, but it's not necessarily intended to be easy. That's not what it's all about. Some student comments from recent courses that might be helpful. He gives every opportunity to earn an A. You just need to put in the work. do the work, put in the time and effort, study before all quizzes and tests, and you will excel. Video lectures were extremely easy to view. Mini tests were not hard at all. Professors very responsive via email. Print out the lecture notes. They'll help you so much and help you to write so much less while still learning information and making a study guide for midterms and finals. Good advice. He offers multiple extra credit opportunities throughout the semester, which is a big grade booster if you take participate. He gave us 5 attempts to do our main assignment, 3 attempts to do the extra credit assignments, and only took the highest score. There were always extra credit opportunities throughout the whole semester. He also told us we could always ask him questions. All that seems to be pretty true. You got to put in a little work to get a good grade, but it's very doable. So you know, the rule of thumb we've heard before is 2 or 3 hours outside of class to prepare for every hour in class. So you should be spending at least 6 hours each week prepping for Marketing 25010 in addition to your class time, being here, viewing the lectures. What should you do? Read the material, highlight the material, study the material, review the material, take the tests. Because it's a constantly rolling thing with a lot of tests and extra credits, it's easy to get behind, so make sure that you fit everything into your schedule. The midterms and exams you'll take online using Proctorio. You'll be required to show a picture ID. You hold to take the exams. If you've lost your KSU ID, why not get a replacement now? It's always a good idea to have one down the student center, replacement. I can also use a driver's license. I can also use a passport. The midterms and final exam are individual efforts. One time somebody said, you didn't tell me the exams would be individual. How many of you guys have taken a final exam that's a group effort? That's what I thought. But this is why the syllabus gets long, because of this sort of thing. It's an individual effort, right? Not a group effort. As, by the way, the weekly mini tests are. So you can't have help doing the exams. The exams are open book and open notes. You use a physical book. When you need a calculator, Proctorio will provide it. So you can and should make use of the physical copy of the book and notes during the exams. You can't use any other electronic devices, cell phones, computers, translators, during the exam. However, if you're an international student and you need to look up words as we go, you can use a standard physical hard copy translation dictionary. You can't be poking stuff into an electronic device because you could be looking up answers. So you cannot make use of any e-book, which is why I keep emphasizing the need for a book. If you've taken notes on your computer, that's great, but you want to print those out because you can't access them digitally. You cannot have the mini test questions and answers in front of you for the midterm or the final. And what are notes? The things that you have created, your own work. Just going in and copying stuff down from the internet, I can't exactly stop you, but that would be a form of cheating. Midterms, each worth 17%, 50 questions, and time to last 80 minutes. Randomly drawn from the same pool of questions used for the mini tests without any Marketing of the News questions in them, just content. Sometimes people get confused by my phrasing. You won't see the same questions you saw in your 5 mini tests. It's all drawing from a big pool of questions. Your 5 tests will draw some questions from that big pool. The midterm and final will draw other questions, maybe some of the same, from that big pool. But people say, I didn't see any test questions on the midterm and the final that I had in my mini tests. It's a big pool of questions. It's not the same pool of questions, yeah? I mean, not the same little set. Am I making sense? It's a big cool pool of questions. You won't necessarily see them. Do the review tests enough time, you might see them. Midterm exam 1 covers lectures 1 to 10, mini tests 1 to 5, available beginning Wednesday, February 22nd at 8 a.m. Closes Wednesday, March 1st, with the last Proctorio login at 5 p.m. Most of my stuff's due at 11:59 p.m. The exams are typically due at 5 p.m. You will want to note that difference. So take note of the dates and deadlines. Exam 2 covers lectures 11 to 20, mini tests 6 to 10, and is available from 8 a.m. Wednesday, April 5th to Wednesday, April 12th, with the last login 5 p.m. Take note of the dates. You'll use Proctorio. Let me know if you don't want to be videoed. Show your picture ID. Make sure you have access to the right test. Open book, open notes. Can't use anything else digital. Same info as we've seen previously. Final exam, 16% of the course. All lecture material from lecture 21 till the end of the term, ending with chapter 21 of the textbook. No Marketing in the News questions. available during finals week from May 4th at 8 a.m. to Tuesday, May 9th, last login 5 p.m., 50 questions, 80 minutes, all the same rules apply there. Questions for me on all this testing stuff? Are we semi-clear? Okay. Advice is jump in and try the sample test just to make sure everything works for you. You know what's going on. Yes, ma'am.
The blue book, the course notes.
Yeah, course notes.
We can bring that whole book in during the exams.
We are bringing it in. The exams are taken at your own time.
Oh.
From your own computer.
Okay.
The proctored exams. I will ask you to show me your book, if you're using a book, to show me your notes, if you're using notes, just so I can see what you're actually doing, or to tell me you're not using books or notes. But yeah, you'll be taking these on your own, wherever you want, in the world, and you will have those with you.
Okay, cool.
Unless you choose not to get a book, or don't get the lecture notes. But yes. Other questions? We good? So how do students do in the course? Well, not too bad, given everything we've said. And you can see, typically, across the curriculum from fall of 2020, but it's been true forever, between 20 and 25% of the course get A's. That's not too bad in a mass section like this where a bunch of people don't care about marketing at all. That's not too bad. B plus, B and B minus, about 30% or so. C's, about another 30%. D's and D pluses, usually around 12%-ish. F's, again, these are just people that give up. They don't care. They're not going to do the work, are about 5%, 8%. The course average consistently is right around, overall average is right around 79 or 80%. You might ask yourself, what would you expect to get for an average in a mass course like this? I don't think you'd say I'd expect it to be 90. You wouldn't expect it to be 60. 80 seems like it's not too bad for a big section like this. So overall, students do well in the course. Each semester, over 20% of the students earn A's or A minuses, 30% of the students are in the B range. So 50% of the class earn B minus or better. You could do that. So to succeed, take the mini tests early so you don't miss them. Retake them until you have earned 100%. Don't stop with, as I said, 30 or 40% with one or two attempts. Return to the material by using the review tests, which open as soon as these things close for a grade. So if you do that regularly, by the time the midterms and the final are given, the material and the questions should be very familiar to you. You've seen them in review tests. You've seen them in the mini test. You're all set. Attendance, we don't take attendance, but you're expected to stay current with the course material because those regular tests are going to cover the course material. Participation is good in person or via email if you have questions. If you have a question, somebody else has that question. Ask it. Sometimes you have to yell at me to stop me because I'm still talking. But if you have a question, ask the question. Web students, send an email. Let me know you have a question. Despite the fact that we all think we can multi-process, we can't. And so I say you can't have cell phones out during class, or when you view stuff online, because you can't do both. I don't really care if you want to do it, but if you're annoying me and making people around you laugh at your funny cat videos or being loud by playing you, I'm going to stop you. Other than that, do what you want to do. So the statement is, you can't have them up and running. Harassment is not tolerated. We're looking for an equitable, fair classroom. International students, if I talk too fast, it's too much material, ask me for extra time. If the university closes, they may cancel classes. I'd have to be pretty dead for me not to put up a lecture. So even though the university may be closed, I will record a lecture, put it up online, send you email. You're responsible for it. Now, if all the electricity in Northeast Ohio is out for 3 days, that could be an issue. But in general, just because it's a snow day doesn't mean we won't have a lecture that day. I already said contact me from your actual email site, either through Canvas or from your @kent.edu site. I get hundreds of messages a day, as you may, so using Marketing 25010 at the start of your subject line helps me to see it. Marketing 25010 question about mini test 1 would be a good way to go. You can phone me, but I can't really do much with you officially by phone because I can't tell it's you. It could be mom, and you may not have I'm giving mom FERPA, so we could set up an appointment by phone, but it's hard for me to do much by phone officially. We've talked already about the Enhanced Earning Extra Credit through Connect. For those, as the student mentioned, you get 3 attempts at each one of those 10 assignments. We keep your best grade. So if you get 3.3%, which doesn't seem like much by itself, times 10, you've added 3% to your final course grade. That is substantial. That's almost half a grade boost, right? 5% would be half a grade boost. If you want to do PACBACK, look at the instructions in the extra credit module. What you'll do for that is post one interesting question related to course material, not when is the next test. That's not an interesting question. But today we heard about electronic vehicles, blah, 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 blah. And answer in an insightful way to 2 posted questions. Each of those is worth 1/10 of a point, so 0.3% for each weekly assignment, 3% to your final grade, one or the other, or if you don't care, don't do either. Sometimes researchers need participants, so sometimes we have research extra credit. If we have that, we'll add that in too. Here is what that course schedule looks like, whether it's on the website or in your lecture notes. We're in week 1. This is Tuesday the 17th, lecture 1, introducing and creating customer relationships and value, if we get there, which would be chapter 1. There's the first midterm. There's the second midterm after spring break. Yay. And the final. There's also on the class website, also in the lecture notes, and you're seeing it now, there's the schedule of the mini tests, opening and closing days and times, and the extra credit. So it's all out there. It's all available. You can put it in your planner now. So it's all out there. It's all available. You can put it in your planner now. When I set up the course, it occurred to me that listening to me talk for an hour and 15 minutes every week is boring. So I went out and interviewed a bunch of business people, alumni, and I posed questions to them about marketing. I didn't tell them the course material. I just asked them questions and recorded their responses and cut them into little snippets. So during the course, we'll hear from a series of video guest lectures, video guest faculty, because let's hear from somebody else other than Larry. So this is KSU alumni and other successful business people responding to course-related material to demonstrate where you can go for Marketing 25010 at KSU. Many of these people were in such a course. Get real-world views of classroom concepts and hear from people other than me. So if you have the lecture notes, on page 20, there's the list and what we want you to sort of write down. And if not, you ought to take note of it or go back and view this recording later, because we might have a test question on some of this. Let's see if this works for us. Who knows?
My name is Valerie Twing. I graduated from Kent State University in 1995 with a Bachelor of Business Administration degree. Currently, I am the director of the business office for a small consulting firm in Washington, D.C. that does government contracting and consulting.
My name is Tim Apel. I am currently the president of AAA Homes in Ravenna. My background is I went to Kent and I earned my bachelor's in accounting, and then went right back and got my MBA from Kent as well. I'm from Kent, so it was kind of natural that I stayed there. Worked in public accounting for a couple years, and in probably about 94, I've come here, and I've been here ever since.
My name is Don Kosak. I earned my master's degree in business administration from Kent State University back in 1992. Currently, I am the vice president for business services for Time Warner Cable Business Services in Akron, Ohio.
Hello, my name is Rob Felber. I earned a Bachelor of Science in Education from Kent State University way back in something that you may have heard of called the 80s. And currently I am president of Felber and Felber Marketing, and where, as you may see, from time to time I have various roles.
Hi, I'm Fred Hunt. I have 2 degrees, an international business degree from Texas Tech University, as well as an MBA from Oklahoma City University. Presently, I am Director of Marketing for the Sherwin-Williams Company here in Cleveland.
My name's Dan Muller, and I've earned an undergraduate degree from Kent State in 1979 in Computer Science and Operations Research, double major, and then also got an MBA from Kent in 1991. And currently I'm the president of distribution services for the Timken Company, which is headquartered in Canton, Ohio, Fortune 500 company.
Hi, my name is Michelle Skin. I am the director of the Fisher Titus Foundation. I received my Bachelor's of Business Administration from Kent State University with a major in marketing in 1980, and happy to be here.
My name is Gary Trinetti, and I earned a Bachelor of Business Administration, emphasis on marketing, from Kent State University. Graduated in 1976 from the university. Currently, I am the CEO president of a company called Garrick, which, interesting enough, was started with my partner, who was also a Kent State graduate in 76, and we started the company in 1980.
Hi, my name is Jim Wise, and I earned my degree at Kent State back in 89. I was a graduate with a degree in marketing. And I am currently now a general manager, vice president of a local car dealership, Don Joseph Toyota, here in Kent. And I have been there for 22 years now. And it's been a very interesting and fulfilling job, that's for sure. Larry, I actually had you in as a marketing professor. I was a student in a large setting classroom back in the early 80s. I remember it well. It was actually one of my favorite classes. That's what actually got me into marketing, to do what I'm doing today.
Hey, my name is Shane Ditka. Born and raised in New Jersey. Got a degree in business management with a concentration in accounting to be an accountant. I was an accountant for about 5 years doing actual accounting, debits and credits. I ended up finding that I was very interested in marketing just because I had kind of an entrepreneurial bug. Ended up starting a bow tie company and having to market it to sell bow ties. I created a blog to attract customers through Google search, right? And then I got really good at that, and then actually pivoted away from bow ties to being an affiliate. Instead of selling my own products as an e-commerce store, I sold someone else's products as an affiliate in the pest control niche. So I would partner up with Amazon or other people who sell stuff and sell their stuff for a commission as in pest control. After that, I did that for about a year, 2 years, ended up selling that part of my business, and then I joined up most recently as a director of SEO with a company called 3Ships, which specializes in affiliate marketing for big brands like Terminix, big like home warranty companies, Orkin, another one. So very big companies that are looking to grow through affiliate marketing.
My name is Patrick Gorgon. I am a sales associate at Protégé. I am an alumnus of University of Missouri, otherwise known as Mizzou. And I have a Bachelor's of Science in Business Administration with a minor in Entrepreneurship. I do sales for Protégé. I operate on the market research arm of our business. And I am, prospecting. I manage the full sales cycle. So prospecting, finding new potential clients, managing the outreach process, and then working with them to facilitate their research projects.
So, admittedly, some of these guys are a little old, long in the tooth, and may not be in the same position they were when I did these interviews, but that's not the point. The point is, as I give them these questions, they're going to talk to you about how they apply in real business. Sometimes you wonder what I'm talking about is real. Does anybody actually use it? You're going to find it's real. They use it all the time. So this will be, I guess this will be on the video. You probably don't have time to write all of this down. But there's some of the information I want you to take away from. Who are these people? What type of organization do they work for? In terms of timing, let me make the following point. I try always to start on time, which is at 3:45. Sometimes I'm a minute off. I will try never to keep you past 5, but I'll often keep you to 5. So I do have about 4 more minutes here. Don't run out yet. Be polite. I'll try to be polite to your time, you try to be polite to my time, okay? So, having said that, I think I probably won't drag out the next 4 minutes to get into chapter 1. We'll do that next time. Thanks for being here. Hope to see you next time. Let me know if you have any questions. Web students, we'll see you two later. Bye-bye.